Boy, it's good to see Skyler today. He must have been in super church this morning. I see him. He's hiding on preach, but I got a hug on him. They're precious kids, aren't they? And those are our kids. We're going to hold on to them. Amen. And good to see each one of you tonight. I didn't see Dick this morning. At least he's not sick, though, right? He's not good. I'm glad. I thought maybe he might have had some problem or something. I'm good. That's. I missed him, but I'm glad he's not sick. Amen. All righty. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. Good to see each one of you. God bless you. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. Thank you for your faithfulness. Some of you come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school. God bless you. One lady told me how she reached out to her mother this week, and I was glad. That really thrilled my heart. Let's just keep reaching out to people. Amen? We're thankful for all the new members we have and all the old members we have. And together, let's do a great work for God. Amen? Let me say this. I'm praying every day that God sells this building. But God has a time. And as long as we're here, let's just keep packing it out. We get it overflowing so much. We'll have to do something. Amen. Brother Mike, did you win that construction man too? He was saved too? Because he went like this morning. I didn't know, So he was, I think I am. That's.
They come to a church that gives the gospel like we do.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I didn't know if I should raise my hand or not.
Yeah.
So, and Brock, the one at Mind Loving Christ this week, was sitting next to him. He just got saved. I think I led him to the Lord Wednesday.
Man.
Wednesday or Thursday. But Tim, you witnessed him too. They're working at his house. He went out and started giving the Bible and preaching to him.
That's great.
And so Mike called to him, I went to Christ. He was kind of like disappointed that I stole enough money.
Yeah.
Anyway, we talked about winning people with Christ and one night he got it so much that we left. He left me a voicemail at 10:30 at night. I didn't get until next morning. He left and went straight to the hospital and talked to one of the neighbors of his and actually led him to Christ and told him.
Wow.
He'd already been saved a week.
That's exciting. I remember, now I'll read the scripture. I know you guys are waiting on us, but I remember the day I was going after Dick Hargett. Man, I went to the hospital. I said, I'm going to get him, Lord. I'm going to get him this day. I'm not leaving to get. And I said, Dick, are you saved? He said, yeah, Mike Porter just led me to Christ. He got here an hour before you did. I said, that Porter always comes in. Amen. Keep winning them. Keep winning them. Yes. Yeah. Right.
But I went to my mom's the other day, and some dear friends of theirs that my parents have passed away, I went to school with her. And I hadn't seen her since we graduated. And I graduated in 1960. And of course, they're good Christian people, and they said, hey, we heard that Dick got saved, and they live in Deberry, Florida.
Wow. Amen. Isn't that great? I want this church to be known as, you go down to that church, that's the saving church.
Amen.
Amen. Alrighty. Chapter 7, 2 Chronicles, verse 1. It's just like a big family here. I can just talk to you and love with you all. It's like I'm like the big daddy that just, all my kids are here with me. And, I love you all. I care about your lives and what's going on in your lives. And God's good, ain't he? Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down. By the way, did you notice he was praying? You're going to find out when the fire comes down, almost every time the fire comes down, people are praying. When Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven, consumed the burnt offering, sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. I don't know about you, but I like it when God's glory fills this house. Amen. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. There was so much Shekinah glory. It was so, no one could even enter. It was so great. The presence of God was so great. Can you imagine that? Wow. Like, you can't get near the sun because it's too brilliant. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, his mercy endureth forever." Heavenly Father, again, I believe you put this in my heart to preach. And I pray I'll do well for you tonight, that I can be a blessing to the people. Pray you'll be with Brother Rod and Miss Debbie as they minister down there near Canton, and be with Brother David and Tammy. I pray that as they're with Brother Sievert, that they'll be a blessing to that church. Now help us. Thank you, Lord, for the people you're saving and baptizing and new members. And Lord, continue to come down and meet with us at Bethel. Be with all our sick. And Lord, be with all our armed service people today. Lord, I just have a desire that you just bless each one, especially our boys and Lord, that we are in our church. And Lord, God bless America. Help America turn to you. And Lord, give our president wisdom on what to do to make the right decisions that would lead our country in the right way. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Real quickly, time has went away. Thank you, John. I told John he could never leave. He has to be here with me. Notice in verse 1, I'm going to do just a little expository preaching in the first three verses. Look at verse 1. When Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven. How many see that? And after that fire came down, look what happened. The glory of the Lord filled the house. How many see that? How many want the glory of God to fill this house? Yes. I mean, you know what? Unless the Lord comes down and meets with us each service, the services are void. If we don't have the presence of the Holy One, we must just close the doors. Look at verse 2. And the priest could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the house. I mean, it was so magnified, you couldn't even come in there at that time because it was so great. Watch. Look at verse 3. And when the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, people know when something falls. People senses when something's happening. Are you with me? And it came, and the glory of the Lord upon the house. Look at the results. When you can get the fire of God to come down in our church and in your life, look what happens. They bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement, and they worshiped and praised the Lord. How many see that? You know, they praised and they worshiped, and revival broke out. I'm going to tell you, things happen when the presence of God is among this people. And what America needs tonight, I'd like to have this happen in every church in America. Wouldn't that be exciting? Amen. Brother Mark, wouldn't it be exciting tonight at 6:30, 6:35 at the time of this, all through America and every church in America, that the fire of God, and I'm not talking about the literal fire, but we're using it as a symbolic truth. Come here with me. Yes. His presence. If the Spirit of God would come down and just magnify each church, and the presence of God would be known and felt and seen, can you imagine the effect on our country? Oh, my land, we could start a revival in America. Amen. To see the glory of God in the churches once again, as they once did in the old-time churches, I'm living for that day. Yes, Brother Billy Turner, we need to keep praying. God, send us a revival. Amen. God, send us a revival. God, I believe revival can come. You know what? Most of us used to get a negative attitude. Well, God can't do nothing with this whole country. God can do anything if we'll seek his face and pray. Yes, I think the problem with grandmother's promise that I have and everybody, we don't pray enough.
Right.
We need to pray now. God, come down and meet with us. Meet with us. I'm going to tell you. The reason we had such great success with Dr. Bob Gray was that there was a lot of prayer that went into that meeting.
Amen.
There were men and young men praying for this at this church and praying for God to move and do something in the church services before the services ever happened. There were some men praying here into the night that you didn't even know about, begging God that he would come down and meet in all the pews and bring people. And my, did he bring them. Amen? Listen, that just didn't happen by accident. It was God's people seeking God's face, and God's man was prepared, and God came down.
Amen.
We can see that in this church all the time. We can see that in America if we'll just seek God.
Yeah.
I mentioned this morning what we saw there and last Wednesday was just a little flicker. By the way, I see the two ladies that came last Wednesday. They came in later. They're here tonight. Amen?
Yeah.
The ones that got saved. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
God bless them. Listen, that was just a flicker of what God can do. And but listen, when you think about the flames and fire of God, you know, they symbolize some truths. Let me give you some truths that they symbolize. First of all, when you see the presence of God's flames and fire, it symbolizes his presence, his mighty presence. Amen? So you got the presence of God. Then it also symbolizes the power of God. God's powerful. He's almighty. And it represents his power. The presence of God, the power of God, that flame represents the purging of God. Moses, he had his life purged so he could serve. Amen? And purifying for God. And the preservation. Remember when he stood before the burning bush? The bush was not consumed. So number one, the presence of God, the power of God, the purging of God, the purifying of God, and the preservation of God. I'm going to tell you, that holy flames, we need that in our life. We need it in our church. Who can say amen to that?
Amen.
Real quickly, if you want to follow, you can. If not, you don't have to. I'm just going to. We're already real late. It's fire in the service. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 2, in the burning bush, Moses stood before that bush. God was making his presence known to Moses. You know, I think what we need to sense God's presence. Look up here. We ought to want God's presence. Oh God, please, I can't go with life. I need your presence. Lord, be real in my life. Be close to my life. Lord, speak to my life. Help my life. Lord, give me a closeness to you. The Bible says in James 4:8, draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. God hasn't moved, it's us that's moved. So that burning bush marked the presence of God for Moses. Then also that burning bush was God was making his power known to Moses. Moses, I'm the one that's all powerful. Sometimes we think that we can take things in our hand. I'm going to tell you, it's all God, not of us. He was showing his power. Then he was purging Moses from the world and trying to purify Moses' life so he could use him for his glory. A lot of times God's got to get things out of our lives so we can be used. God don't like using marred vessels. He likes using vessels that have been purified. Now, none of us are perfect. Please don't misunderstand me. But if you're living a life way far from God, don't expect God to do things to you. You know, I was talking to somebody. Our lives are so shattered, filled with so much stuff. Usually it takes a revival, 2 and 3 and 4 services, before you start breaking through and revival starts to give us. Boy, the first service, it kind of rubs up the ground. Second service, things get a little deeper. And then all of a sudden, about the third or fourth service, man, things start taking hold. It's because our lives are so filled with junk in our lives, God can't even break through right away because we got too much in front of us. Oh, we get that purification. Then notice that bush didn't burn. Even though the fire was going to burst, the bush was not consumed. The preservation of God. I'm going to tell you, you know what God, one thing God has preservation for? Your eternal soul. We're preserved forever in Christ. This King James Bible's got preservation. It's preserved forever. Amen? So, number one, in Exodus 3, the burning bush to Moses was the presence of the flames. And look, God showed Moses that he needed him. And that we all need those flames of fire. By the way, Moses' life didn't take off till he got on that holy ground. Did you notice that? Moses, take your shoes off, verse 5, Exodus 3. What you're standing is on holy ground. Here's the thing, folks. We need to get in the presence of God and let God work in our life. Amen? And oh, how we need the flames of fire. I need the flames of fire. You need the flames of fire in your life so God can warm your soul, warm your spirit, warm your heart, motivate you to do something for Christ. Number two, in Exodus 13, verse 21 and 22, and I'm just giving you a few thoughts today. There's lots of them. I'm only giving you a few. How did God have the people travel? They followed a cloud by day and a fire by night. How were they directed? Who moved their pathway? It was a fire by night and a cloud by day. Are you still talking about the fires of God? Are you still with me? What I'm saying, God's never changed. There's always been fires. We need the fire of God in our life. And without the fire of God, we don't go nowhere. Are you still with me? By the way, if you want to put some scripture there, Psalms 119, verse 105, and Psalms 119, verse 130, it's to order my steps in thy word. And wherewithal shall you? Well, that's verse 9. But the number three, I want you to turn to this if you could. 1 Kings 18. When Elijah took on the 450 prophets, what did God do to give him the victory? He sent down fire. Amen? 1 Kings 18, verse 37 to 41. 1 Kings, I had you in Chronicles, right? Just go back towards Genesis. Are you with me? And just a little ways from where you were. 1 Kings 18, look at verse 37. Now, you know the story. I'm not going to preach it. He's up on Mount Carmel in the 450. He's taking on the 450 prophets of Baal. Remember he's taking on Bill Clinton? I mean, Ahab and Mrs. Clinton, Jezebel. I mean, they're the New Testament, Ahab and Jezebel. They really are. Don't count her out yet. Don't ever count them Clintons out. I lost my thought. Anyways, he's taking on Ahab, the king. Remember he said that because of their wickedness, he prayed God would stop the rain. And there was a drought. And for 3.5 years, there was no rain. When you ain't got no rain, people get mad because there's no food. Hello? And so, remember Ahab saw Elijah, said, "You're the one that's causing all the trouble." They blame all the Baptist preachers. "You're the one causing all the trouble. You're the one stirring up the people. You're always preaching against this. You're always preaching against this. It's your fault the rain didn't come down." Hello? And so he says, let's have a shootout at the OK Corral. Something like that. And so they, all day long, they prayed out to their false gods and nothing happened. They even cut themselves. By the way, did you notice the devil always like you to cut on yourself? God, Jesus not in that slice in your and he's not in all those things in your nose and your tongue and your ears, all those, you know, in the belly. That he's not in that. Amen. Don't put all them little things in all your parts of your body. That ain't God's will. And I'm not against a pair of earrings. But when they go all the way around your ear, or they go up inside your nose, watch out, that's not God telling you to do that. Hello? Look at verse 37. So, by the way, did you catch what we said earlier, Mark? Seems like every time fire came, people were praying first. Let's see what Elijah says here in verse 37. "Hear me, O Lord! Hear me!" I think he's praying. See, if we want God to really come down and manifest his glory in here, we need to get down on our knees and say, oh God, bring down the fire. I'm not talking about literal fire like I said, but I'm talking about the fire, the spiritual fire of God that comes down and the power of the Holy Ghost that moves our hearts. How many understand what I'm preaching tonight? Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that the people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. He prayed, look at verse 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell. Amen for God's fire. And consumed and burnt the sacrifice. Boy, they put 12 barrels of water on. Man, they tried to douse something. God zapped it. Blew up. Nothing there. Amen? Look what happened. And the wood and the stones and the dust licked up the water that was in the trench. And all when all the people saw it, they saw that fire come down from heaven. When they saw it, by the way, what did they do when they saw it over there in Chronicles with Solomon? They fell on their faces and prayed. Did you see that? Look, isn't this interesting? By the way, and it was the start of prayer that brought it all about. And taking a stand for right. See, you're never going to pray till you take a stand for right. The Lord's... And they fell on their face and said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Hallelujah. Man, they went from hating God to loving him. They went from wanting to kill Elijah to put him up as their champion. Watch this. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal. I love this part. Let not one of them escape. And they took them. And Elijah brought them down to the brook of Kishon and slew them. Amen. The good guys win. I like it when the good guys win. Amen. You say, preacher, you're just a rowdy. Well, that's what they did. Sometimes you got to cut the problem out. Look at verse 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink. For there's a sound of abundance of rain. You preachers and Sunday school teachers, right there at that verse 41, write down revival. They had 3.5 years of drought. And now God brings down the fire. The people get right with God. And what's happened? Rain's coming. Revival coming. The drought stopped. Rain's coming down. And God said, it's time for revival. And it was because people got bad mad at sin. They started praying and the fire of God came down and pow, revival happened. Amen. It can happen for all of us too. Amen? Look at number 4. There was fire from heaven present when Elijah even went up to heaven. Look at 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 11. And it came to pass, and by the way, it always does. As they still went on, I'm going to keep preaching Jesus till Jesus comes. Tommy, I don't know if he's going to come in my life and your life, but we're just going to keep it till we drop. I'm going to preach out of this old book as long as God will give me a voice to preach it. Amen. And as it came to pass, as they still went on. Boy, I like that verse, Mark. They still went on. They still went on. You know what? We need to determine, Brother Bobby. We're going to still go on no matter what. Nothing's going to stop us. We're not going to turn back. We're going to still go on. And talk that, behold, there appeared the chariot of fire. Boy, here's that fire again from heaven, Mark. Horses of fire. And parted both of asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Did you get that? No one goes to heaven. Here's what I wrote down. No one goes to heaven without the fire of God. Think with me now. Stay with me. I'm going to show you something. You know, because what do you mean the fire of God, preacher? You got to be purged from all your sin. Fire purges. You got to have all your sins purged or you won't go to heaven. Only Jesus can purge your sins. Look, everybody look to me. Look at Luke chapter 3. I want you to see what John the Baptist said. We're talking about the fire of God tonight. Luke chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. Look what John the Baptist said. Interesting. I'm almost done. I'm hurrying. Well, I'm not almost done, but I'm a lot farther than what we were. I'm way farther than what we first started. Look at Luke 3:15. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he was the Christ or not, John answered, talking about John the Baptist, saying unto them, you got Luke 3:16? Luke 3:16, how many got it? John answered, saying to them, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latch of whom I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. How many see that? He's not talking about a fire like you make out in the woods. He's talking about the power of God. How many are still with me? I told you fire represents and symbolizes the power of God many times. Isn't it interesting to take it one more step further? In Jeremiah chapter 5, don't turn to it, I'm just going to quote these. If you want to go to Acts chapter 2, I'm going to show you something there next. In Jeremiah 5:14, I will make my words in thy mouth fire. In Jeremiah 20, verse 9, his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. Jeremiah 23:29, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? I'm going to tell you, we need the fire. We need the fire of God in our life. So when we speak, we got power and people can sense the presence of God. Amen. Number 5, the reason 3,000 people were saved at Pentecost was not because of Peter. It was because of the fire of God that came down. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 3. And by the way, it wasn't because they spoke in tongues, because they didn't speak in a jibber-jabber. You read the scripture, every man heard it in his own language. So that blows out all the charismatics. Are you still with me? Acts chapter 2, verse 3. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of what? Fire. Oh, they had the power of God present. See, here's the thing. We just need the presence and the power of God present. When you got the presence and power of God with you, I'm going to tell you right now, things will happen. When God's fire comes down, every time you read about the fires of God in the Bible, something happens. There you found 3,000 people got saved. We need the flames of God to move our heart, to get in our soul and spirit. So like we're like Kenny, and we got so much concern for lost souls. Hey, you're going to go to hell if you don't get saved. Right, amen. I think we get some of that fire in us, maybe we wouldn't be so shut up like we are most times. Hello? God, bring down the fire. Number 6, and I've only got 8 of them. By the way, man, you left some out, preacher. Yeah, I know, and I could have kept you here tomorrow morning. So it's not that I didn't know. I just knew you didn't want to stay for 24 hours. All you theologians. At the judgment seat of Christ, there's going to be fire. 1 Corinthians 3:13. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 3:13. This is, by the way, only saved people will be here. There's two judgments. There's a judgment seat of Christ for the saved. There's a white throne judgment in Revelation 19 for the lost. Romans 14:10 says, don't you all know that you all stand before the judgment seat of Christ? 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, well, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. This judgment seat of Christ is right after the rapture. The next thing to happen for the Christian, Christ is going to come in the clouds. I don't care what people tell you. He's coming. One day the trump of God's going to sound. We're going to be busy. We're not going to. He's going to catch us. We're not. We're going to be working or doing something, and all of a sudden, Bobby, we're gone. In a moment of twinkling eye, blink your eye. That's how fast it's going to be. Austin, you might be playing a baseball game. You and Austin, and maybe Austin Skyver will be pitching, and he'll just get ready.
You throw that ball and poof, the ball's gone, but Austin's gone. Or maybe Austin Shelby just get ready to bat and bam, just when you like you just hit one out of the ballpark, Austin. You're treading down the bases, poof, you're gone. And they're thinking, what on earth is going on? The trump of God sound. The last Sunday. I'm not saying it's going to happen on a Sunday. I just thought about that song, the last Sunday. Now look up here. After that rapture happens, we're going to be in heaven with Christ for 7 years. We're going to get brand new bodies. We're going to go to what they call sometime in that 7 years, and I think it's right after soon after the rapture, we're all going to stand before Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. By the way, it's not for your sins, because if you had, you wouldn't be there. All your sins have been forgiven at the cross. Hello? This is for our stewardship. It's amazing. Isn't it great how God works through fire? Well, look at 1 Corinthians 3:13. Even at the judgment, he's still working with the fire, Brother Mark. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. God believes in fire, don't he? And the fire shall try every man's work. What sort? That's where you get your rewards. I was talking to Fred and Daphne today. We know a couple that used to come here a long time ago. And I hope that they've made professions that they're saved. And I have to hope that they are saved. But they don't go to any church at all. And they're doing pretty good in life. And I told Fred and Daphne, I said, you know what? They might be doing good in this life. But when the trump of God sounds and you that stayed faithful to Christ, he's going to reward your faithfulness. And that's for all eternity. Those that are saved and never served God, never did nothing. Oh, if you're saved, you're going to heaven. You're sealed until the day. You don't work your way to heaven. The work's already been done. Christ did the work at Calvary. Amen? It scares me, though, when people don't have a desire. You often wonder, did they really get saved? You know, it's hard to understand that, but God's the judge. You know, I don't know. The scripture says you can tell by their fruit. And when you don't see, if you're a fruit inspector, you don't see no fruit, you wonder, wow, do they have the right tree? Yeah. Amen? Right. Well, anyways, I said, yeah, they're good people, too. They're upright people, a hardworking man. And respectable people. But I said, you know, when they stand before God, if they're really saved, they're going to be really regretting they didn't serve him. Right. And if they're kids, they got two children, and if they don't get saved and they die and go to hell, I'm going to tell you right now, they're going to be like Lot. They're going to be sorry. Right. Sell out for God, you'll be glad you did. Not only in this life, but the life to come. Amen? Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. But if you notice, God, even at the judgment seat of Christ, God's going to have fire there. Number seven, when Jesus comes back, he's going to have fire. Amen? By the way, while we're up there 7 years, this earth is going to have the worst time it's ever known. It's called the tribulation. 7 years. It's divided in 2 3.5-year sections. The last 3.5 is going to be the worst time man's ever known. Usually when you read the Bible, when you read latter days, when you see in your Bible, when you read the Old Testament stuff, it says the latter days. Those latter days are usually almost always referring to the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. That's why you can usually know pretty much right where they're at in the scripture. Oh, wow. That's the last half of the trib. Amen? And so I'm glad we're not going to be there. Anyone saved, you don't have to worry about that. You're going to be gone.
Amen.
Look at Revelation 19, number 7. Of course, number seven is God's perfect number. So, Brian, I picked Jesus. Amen. He's coming back after the rapture. 7 years later, he's coming back. We're coming with him. We'll be riding on white horses. Jesus is going to be on a white horse. And by the way, that's why the Jews didn't accept Christ. They thought he was going to be coming as a conquering king. When Jesus comes back in his revelation, he's coming back as a conquering king. And that's why when he came on that little donkey, where's our great Messiah? They were looking for a conquering king. They didn't realize he was going to come and die for them first. Amen? Well, look what Jesus does when he comes back. In verse 11, 19:11, I saw heaven open. Behold, a white horse. He that sat upon it was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, he does judge and make war. You heard of the battle called Armageddon? People always, all the armies are going to go against God. They're actually going to see him, Jamie. They're going to actually have satellite cameras on him. Here he comes. I guarantee they'll be shooting at him and everything. Won't do no good. He's going to put the hurt to him like that laser tag. They're going to be out of bullets, and he's going to zap them. I wish you could have saw Bob Gray. He said, "Preacher, you can't shoot me. You're out of bullets." I said, "Yeah, but I still got the butt of this gun." "No, preacher, that ain't how we play the game." That's how I play when I lose. I don't like to lose. Anyways, I didn't hit him, by the way. I never, great man of God. I was just playing with him, though. He got a kick out of it. David got more than a kick out of it. I did a Cody. Man, Cody's a ball player. I went over and just, bam, hard as I could, I hit David. Bam, knocked him out. He said, "Dad, that's not legal." I said, "Oh, isn't it? I didn't know. I've never played before." Oh, he's act dumb like you don't know how the game goes. I did like smashing you, though, son. Glad you didn't smash me back. You know what, though, kids? Preacher, since I had fun with you kids all that night, this right knee is not, it hurts me. I blew the stinking knee out. One night at Night of Nights, I blew a knee out. Oh, I don't know. I'll wrap it next Night of Nights. I'll wrap it, amen? I'm coming back. Maybe it'll be better before next year, Mike. Where was I? Revelation, it's late. Revelation chapter 19, Jesus is coming back. He's going to judge. Oh, this old earth's going to need it too. And notice what he does. His eyes, what? Were as a flame of what? Fire. See, I'm going to tell you right now, God uses that symbol of fire in way to show he's all powerful. There's no one more powerful than our Savior. There's no more powerful than the Holy Spirit. We need that fire in our life. We need that fire in the presence of our church. We need that fire in us when we witness to people so they sense the presence and power of God. How you get what I'm trying to show you today? And just to wrap it up, not only Jesus, when he comes back, is using fire. When he calls us up, he's using fire. Back there with Moses, he's using fire. Hello? At the end, this old... how many like Revelation 21:1? I saw a new heaven and new earth. Isn't that great? But look at 2 Peter 3. Before you get a new heaven and new earth, guess what happens? Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, and I'm all done. I didn't do too bad. I didn't get in here until about 6:45. So it's only been about 30, believe it or not, it's only been 30 minutes. That's pretty good for preacher. 2 Peter 3, but I'm not done yet. Look at verse 7. I'm in 2 Peter 3. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store. See, everything consists by God. But notice what? It's reserved unto what? Fire! Against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of one thing. One day is with the Lord 1,000 years, and 1,000 years one day. And by the way, I believe in my heart, because I believe God, I believe in the numerology. I believe God works in numbers. Nobody knows the time. If they say they know the time, they're lying. Right. But I know God knows exactly when he's going to come and when he's going to do all this. We have what we teach is called seven dispensation of time. Maybe someday I'll teach that in the Bible Institute. Seven dispensations. That would be a good thing to teach. It's too hard to teach in Sunday school, and I need more time. But God works in dispensations, and the eighth dispensation is going to be eternity. Are you with me? But let me show you one thing. One day to the Lord is 1,000 years, 1,000 years one day. Man was made on the sixth day. And I believe God has given man 6,000 years. I got a kick. I'm that close to getting done. I got a kick out of the radio last night. I just tickles me. It tickles me royal when they said over there in Europe, or where was it? I don't know, someplace, wasn't in America. They found something. They found a guy that was 2 million years old or something. I said, wow, that's hard to do. Seeing that we've only been here 6,000 years, bucko. Man's only been here 6,000 years. The Old Testament covers 4,000. The New Testament covers 2,000. 4 and 2 is 6. I went to BBCA, Bethel Baptist Christian Academy. Are you with me? Don't believe your teachers in the schools and all these college professors saying, we've been here, the Cro-Magnon man and all these different kinds of men, the bionic man and the $6 million man. Don't believe all that stuff. God made man on the sixth day of creation. He took 7 days and made creation. 24 hours each day. And God's trying to show you here, 6,000 years, six the number of man. Now watch. How many days did God have for creation? Seven. And the seventh day he rested, right? How many are still with me? 7 days in 1 week? Hello? Watch. 6 days, the rapture. Are you with me? Now watch. After we come back, there's what they call the kingdom age. It's called the millennium. We talked about in Sunday school, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That is 1,000 years. You put 6,000 years and 1,000 years together, and that's seven. That's all, folks. That's all. And that's when the fire's coming. And that's when heaven and earth's going to be burned up. I don't know exactly. By the way, on the Jewish calendar, we're only 5,700 years or 5,800 years. I don't know the exact date. I know today's 2008. I know what we say. But I don't believe we have the exact date. But I believe whenever God knows the date, and I believe when man gets to 6,000 years, that's it. By the way, I don't know when that is. But I believe God shows us. 6,000 years is... Then watch. Let me finish the reading. But beloved, be not ignorant. He must not... Mark, he's saying don't be ignorant. Don't be stupid. He must want us to understand something, Brother Bobby. Hey, I'm trying to get your attention. Don't miss the scripture. Are you with me? Don't be ignorant. Don't be unlearned. Don't be not wise to what I'm trying to tell you. One thing, that one day is with the Lord 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. The Lord's not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but as long suffering to us, not one of the any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Hallelujah. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. And by the way, don't turn to it, but I just didn't make a did note for you. In Zechariah 14, verse 12, it talks about this day. It says men will be standing up and their flesh will consume, their eye sockets will be consumed as they stand on their feet. Zechariah 14, 12. You can look it up later. I'm not making no mistake. I know the scripture. Are you with me? Tommy said, I'm going to preach on that. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Zechariah 14:12, Tommy. in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works thereof shall there be burned up, still working with fire. He's trying to work with man with fire for good, and he's trying to work with fire for bad. You can have the good or the bad. It's all about what fire you want. You ever notice people say, that burns me up? Everything comes from the scriptures. Seeing then, I'm all done with these scriptures, I'll close. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person, hey, you know what's going, you know what the end, you know the end of the book before it happens. We've got it. How many of you ever read a book say, I can't wait, you go and you read the, you actually don't even finish, you read the end before you go through it, just so you know what happens at the end? God's Bible is the same way. He says, here's how it's going to end. He said, because you know how it's going to end and what I'm going to do, you need to be moved to get everybody saved that you can. What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Boy, that's some fire. Amen? Nevertheless, we according to his promise, look for a new heaven, new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Can anyone say amen? Amen. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that we look for such things, be diligent that you may be found in him in peace without spot and blame. I'm going to tell you right now, the fire of God is going to be falling. It'll fall for us for the good. It'll fall for others for the bad. Fire can also mean judgment. Amen? Let's do all we can to know that the presence of that fire. Moses, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful if every day of your life you could have that fire of God burning with you, and every day you could be on holy ground? Every day you could be in the presence of him, speaking with him, walking with him, talking with him, and knowing the fullness of him. That's what God wants for us. Just like he had it for Moses. Just like he had it for Elijah. Just like he had it for all the prophets. He has it for us too. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the fires and flames of God. Help us to desire the presence of the Holy Ghost and the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that we'd want that presence of God and the power of God and the preservation of God and the purifying of God in our life. So much so, Father, that when we walk, people would sense the glory of God in our life, that they would sense Christ, that they could see Christ in us, that they would say, as they said about some of the men in the book of Acts, they took note that they had been with Jesus. And Lord, I pray with all my heart, we would seek and desire the fire from heaven that could transform our lives and help us make a difference for the multitudes. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed before we go home, how many could say, preacher, I'm far from God. I really am. And I want to get closer to God. Would you pray that I could get closer to God? I really want that. God spoke to my heart today. I need a closer walk. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Just raise your hand. Yeah, all my, all over the building. God bless your heart. God bless your heart. All over the building. God bless you, man. I see that. How many could say, pastor, I know for sure I'm saved. I know I'm saved. And if I died, I'd go to heaven. Could you raise that hand? Amen. Amen. Would there be any tonight? Would there be any tonight before we go home? Preacher, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I'd sure like to know when I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't want to die and go to hell. Would you pray for me? Just raise that hand. Let me see it. Let me see your hand. I'll pray for you. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm going to go to heaven. I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. Anyone like that? Just raise your hand. Preacher, I'm not sure. Anyone like that? Hold your hand up where I can see it. Pastor, I'm not sure. Pray for me. Heavenly Father, I'm praying
like they did over in 2 Chronicles with Solomon. I'm praying, dear God, like Elijah did. Oh God, bring down the flames and fire of heaven for our church, for me. God, bring down the flames of fire for me and my family and my church. God, bring down the flames for Bethel Baptist. Help us be ablazed for you. Help us glow for you. Help us shine for you. Help us radiate for you. And Father, may people see the wonderful brightness of Christ through our lives. Lord, may people come here and sense the presence of God. Oh God, would you tabernacle with us in this place? Please, Father, help us to know your presence. Help us to know your power. Help us to know your purification and your, Father, all, and your preservation and all the things that you do for us. I ask these things. And Lord, you saw, Lord, there were several hands that went up that said they wanted to get closer to you. Lord, so many I couldn't, there was multitudes. Help each one that raised their hand and those that couldn't raise their hand to get closer to you. May they know what, God, may they go home tonight and pray for the fire of God. May they pray down the fire and flames of God. Maybe even in this church tonight, maybe they'd want to come and pray. Lord, why would the God, some men would come and pray, God, bring down the fire. Bring down the fire. Bring down the fire, God. Bring down the fire. Oh, God, bring down, oh, God in heaven, bring down the fire. Bring down the fire. Bring down the fire, God. Bring down the fire. Oh, God, may we desire your presence and your power on us. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to stand.